to be able to open the Bible and to know that this is the Word of God and it has authority for our lives, that we can trust it, and that it guides us and directs us through the confusion that we find in our world today. In our world, it is a confusing place, but we're grateful for the light that we have in the Word of God. That's free. That's not my sermon. That's absolutely free. It reminds me of the story of a gentleman who walked into a pet store, and he said that he wanted 12 bees. So they came out and they brought these bees to him, and he started to count these bees, and he noticed that there was 13. And he said, I asked for 12 bees, and you gave me 13. And he said, oh, that's a freebie. That's terrible. Freebie. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray you would help us. I pray, Lord, that you would use, Lord, this wonderful story as a building block in our life, that you would make us excited about walking in faith and trusting in you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would surrender our will to your will. I pray that we would follow you, that you would guide and direct our steps, and may you be glorified with the message tonight. May your word be glorified in us, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice in the foyer on the gospel table there, you'll notice an outline. If you haven't grabbed one, you can do so. And also, there's some study questions there. Actually, is there anyone that needs an outline? You can put up your hand, and okay, your mom, Cade, and others here. Just put up your hand nice and high, and Brother Cade will get you one of those. As you exit tonight, there's also some study questions there that you can take home, and you can further this study by yourself as you read these passages of Scripture. Helen and Kate, Helen and Botan as well. Wonderful. All right, so we're looking at this curriculum, this study, building below the baseline in your life. You know, long before builders erect walls or long before windows are installed and roofs are placed on a physical building, they start with the process in which most people never see, and that is the foundation. You know, when buildings are built, huge machinery will come on the scene and they'll begin digging that property, and people with hard hats will begin looking at those plans and those paper, that paperwork and all those specs, and they'll place these colored flags all over the property, and they'll begin to work, and you know, appointments will be scheduled, and meetings will come together, and you know, there's just this busy time on this construction site, and many people walking by would look at all of this activity, and they would think to themselves that this is all just wasted time. This is all just ridiculous. Why would you spend so much time on the part of the building that no one else can see? And yet we understand that the most vital part of a structure rests in the investment of the foundation. The Bible teaches us that this is also true in our Christian life. Without a solid foundation to the Christian activities and the Christian ministries in which we take part in, the reality is that our lives will eventually crumble. Now, I'm told that in Alaska and California, they are the two states that experience the most earthquakes. And because of this, building codes have been put in place to ensure safety for the residents in these two states. Many beautiful buildings have crumbled to the ground because they could not withstand the attack or the force of an earthquake. A building according to earthquake codes are costly and take far much more time. And it's often frustrating at the timeline of building these buildings, and yet it provides safety and protects the investment made on the rest of the building. And the same is true with our Christian life tonight. You know, challenges and tests come into our life, and they're often like earthquakes. They can shake us to the core and potentially have the power to even destroy us. But also, they reveal the strength of our spiritual foundation. And it is at those very times when we see where we have placed our trust. 1 Kings 17 gives us a wonderful example of this. A prophet and a widow are both seen in their trust in Almighty God. Both the prophet, Elijah, and this widow experienced some pretty devastating times in their life. And yet we learn in this lesson tonight, we learn how we can build trust in God. Now, the setting of this story it's really similar to where we find ourselves today in 2022. I mean, the country of Israel had forgotten the ways of God. Their king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel, you probably learned lots about those two and their denial and rejection of God's way. The reality is they had no interest in following the ways of the Lord. And just as we see prevailing in our world today, we see the rejection of the true God. We see the acceptance of pluralism and the acceptance of idolatry. We notice in response to Ahab and Jezebel's disobedient idolatry that God eventually sent his prophet Elijah to proclaim the judgment upon this people. Many years earlier, God had already made it clear to Israel that if they rejected God and his way, that consequences would take place. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13, the Bible says this, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. God says, listen, if you go my way and follow me, I'm going to bless you. But in verse 16, the Bible says, but take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, that ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you. And he shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth to you. And so Elijah's proclamation of God's coming judgment was not a crazy prophet trying to scare Ahab into submission to God, but really he was proclaiming the truth of God's word. This is what God has said. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. This was God's judgment upon a disobedient people. And as we learn in the Bible, God always keeps his word. You can trust in him. And so the Bible says that God sent a drought to the land. God sent a famine to the land. And as you can imagine, it became a season of incredible testing in Elijah's life. But also this would be a time of great testing in the life of a widow and her son, as we are introduced to in this passage of Scripture. And yet God remained faithful. And we notice in this passage of Scripture that as the earthquakes of trials come into our life, we notice that through Elijah and through this widow's response to God's word, we notice their foundation of their trust was exposed. And that's what we want to look at here tonight. Number one, if you're taking notes, would you write down the trust of Elijah? The trust of Elijah. Now, because Elijah preached the word of God to Ahab, and because he spoke the truth, he became the special target of Ahab and Jezebel's anger. And it was likely that the people of Israel also blamed him for the drought and for the famine as well. And he wasn't a very like person at this particular time. And yet God was taking care of him. In 1 Kings 17, verse 2, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Now notice the Bible says to hide thyself. God was taking care of his prophet. And here we see Elijah is trusting God with everything that he has. He's trusting God for everything. The Bible teaches us that God told Elijah to go, and Elijah, the Bible says, went and did according unto the word of the Lord. You know, if you want to know if we are trusting God, then we look at our obedience. Because Elijah's obedience was proof that he was trusting the Lord. And we notice that the trust of Elijah was seen in the fact that he was to go to Cherith. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 3, this is letter A, to go to Cherith. The Bible says, verse 3, get thee hence and turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Because Elijah trusted God's direction, God said go, that we see in this passage of Scripture that Elijah was able to see God's provision. The Bible says in verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Where God guides, God provides. And we see this in this passage of Scripture. In the account of Elijah, we see that God is sustaining him with ravens. And I mean, this is nothing short than miraculous. God is performing a miracle here, and God is meeting his needs. But listen to me, if Elijah would not have trusted in God's direction, he would not have seen God's provision. God told him to go to Cherith, and as he followed God's direction, he saw God meet his needs. So often, Christians miss out on experiencing great acts of God's provision because we refuse to trust God in his direction. God promises us that he will guide those who are willing to trust him. Proverbs chapter 3, a wonderful verse in verse 5, probably many would claim it to be their life verse. Many have it memorized, and we love this verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him. The Bible says, and he, God, will direct thy paths. As we follow God's direction, we find God's provision. Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. Listen, for Christians, trusting God is a lifelong privilege. We have a wonderful blessing to trust a God who never makes mistakes. And growing in our Christian walk will require our constant surrender to following God's direction. The will of God is not distant, it's daily. And so on a daily basis, we surrender our will to God's will, and we surrender to God's direction in our life. But at that very moment that we reject God's direction and we decide to follow our own pathway, it is at that moment that we digress in our Christian walk, that we move forward, not for the Lord, but in our own flesh, in our own pathway. And the Bible says that God does not bless us in this pathway. There is nothing more important than each of us staying in the center of the will of God. And this means we must continually trust God every day. We wake up in the morning, there's a new opportunity for us to trust God. And Cherith had become a place in Elijah's life. It was a haven. It was a place that he could find provision, but also a place that he would find protection from King Ahab. And God met the needs there. But there came a time that Cherith no longer could provide the needs that Elijah had. And so God brought him to a more unlikely location. And we see here that Elijah trusted God to go to Zarephath. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, if you're looking at a map, and we'll look at a map here of Zarephath, we understand that this is not the logical choice of where to send Elijah. There are times in our life that it just doesn't make sense. This would be a time in Elijah's life that it just didn't make sense. Zarephath was a town 7 miles south of Zidon. It was also the hometown of Jezebel's father. I mean, in reality, going to Zarephath would be equivalent to us moving into the heart of a terrorist city. I mean, this just doesn't make logical sense for Elijah to go to Zarephath. And yet the Bible says that God's direction, though it didn't make sense, was obeyed by Elijah. The Bible says he obeyed. It's a wonderful truth in Elijah's life as he trusted God. He trusted God in an unlikely location, but also the Bible says that he trusted God with an unlikely person. God said, listen, you're going to go to a place that probably you shouldn't go, but I have provided there a widow woman, and she's going to meet your needs. In verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I mean, I'm sure that when God told them this, there were plenty of questions that Elijah had. I mean, listen, I understand that getting fed by ravens is probably not the best situation, but I'm sure Elijah was thinking, you know what, it seemed to be working just fine, Lord. I mean, why do we have to change it? And so now he's going to turn to a poor widow mother, and he's going to look to this poor widow mother to meet his needs. I mean, it just didn't make logical sense. And yet, with simple trust in God, Elijah obeyed. You know, as we look at this passage of Scripture and as the story unfolds, we see God taking care of Elijah, and we see also God taking care of the widow and her son. And this is really the fascinating part of the story, is that God is not only meeting the need of Elijah, but he's also answering the prayer of this widow woman. God's plan is incredible. And we see that oftentimes in our life, we don't see the full picture. And because we don't see the full picture, it's hard for us to trust God. There are times in our life where we look at a circumstance and we think to ourselves, Lord, am I fully trusting and obeying you in this area? And we know in our heart, it's hard to trust God because we can't see the full picture. And you say, yeah, but Elijah, he saw the full picture. No, you get to read the full story. But Elijah trusted God one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. I mean, he didn't know how this whole thing was going to unfold. He trusted God for every moment of it. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give to you an expected end. In Luke chapter 12, there's a wonderful illustration that Jesus gives his disciples. And it's a wonderful picture of how God meets our needs. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, he tells the disciples to consider the lilies, how they grow, and how God provides for these flowers of the field, and how God dresses the fields, and he takes care of all of those needs, how he feeds the birds and all of those things. And he says in Luke chapter 12, God says, listen, for all of these things, the provisions of life, all of the nations of the world seek after these things. God understands that we have needs in our life. And yet the Bible says, don't live for these things. Don't seek after these things. But rather, verse 31 of Luke 12, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Listen, our natural tendency in our human flesh is to chase after these provisions. But God says, don't chase after the provisions like the Gentile nations chase after. He says, chase after God and trust in me, and I'll provide all of these things for you. And that takes trust. That takes faith. Because our natural tendency wants to chase after those provisions. Elijah's test of faith was severe, but his trust shows us in this scripture that God is trustworthy, that God can be trusted. And even though it didn't make, you know, logical sense, It didn't make human sense for Elijah to go to Zarephath, to go to Cherith. It didn't make sense for him to follow these directions. Yet God had a purpose in it, and God had a plan in it. And as he trusted God, God met the need. And this is the same for us today, that we must trust the Lord. But in the story, it wasn't just Elijah that had faith. I want us to notice number two tonight, the test of the widow. The test of the widow. Now, we can only imagine how difficult that the life of a widow with a child to support and to help would be during the time of a famine, a drought. And although the Bible doesn't really give us much detail of this widow woman, in fact, the Bible really says that really all we know is she was a widow woman, she had a son, and she didn't have much. Yet we understand that God saw her, and God answered her prayer, and God met her need. And that's a wonderful blessing. 1 Kings 17:10, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of that city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread, just a little bit of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. I mean, that's not a positive outlook in life. I mean, here's a woman that really is struggling. And Elijah must have had a measure of uneasiness as he drew near to this pagan city. God had placed this woman right there at the city's gate. And although, again, we don't know much about her, we know a few thoughts that the Bible lists for us. We know, first of all, letter A, her residence. The Bible says, again, she was in the town of Zarephath, which was a pagan city. The people of that city were idol worshipers. They worshiped the false god Baal, which we know the story of Elijah and the followers of Baal. And the reality is that anyone who served and loved and followed Jehovah God would stick out in Zarephath. I mean, they would stick out like a sore thumb. You would see them a mile away. And this woman here, we see that she was in an unlikely place, and she had a great need in her life. We see her resources. The Bible says in verse 12 that she had a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse and two sticks. She didn't have a lot of resources in her life. And oftentimes we look at this situation and in situations in our life today, and we think, what can God do with such limited elements? I mean, what is God really going to do with someone that just has a handful of meal, has a little bit of oil and a couple of sticks? I mean, this is just an unlikely person to be used to do something incredible. And yet we find it through the Bible that God doesn't need resources to do the impossible. It's a wonderful story in John chapter 6. And you know the story. A great multitude of people, they're following Jesus. It's getting late into the evening hours. And Jesus, because he's God, knew the people were hungry. And so he told his disciples that he was going to feed this massive crowd. And of course, his disciples said, how in the world are you ever going to do that? But God is never limited by resources. In John chapter 6, the Bible says, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here that have five barley loaves and two small fishes, really just nothing more than sardines. But what are they amongst so many? What difference are they going to make? And yet we know from the Bible that if you give it all to Jesus, God can make a big difference with it. Little is much, when God is in it. It's amazing what God can do when we simply give all we have to Him. But we notice not only her resources, we notice, let her see her reasoning. Her reasoning. Now this widow had, there's no doubt she endured a lot through this drought. And we know from the Bible here that her reasoning was not accurate. She told Elijah that her intention was to gather a couple sticks. She was going to eat her last meal, the little bits that she had, and then she was going to die. And although she might not have had an accurate reasoning here, we notice that this reasoning that she presented to Elijah, it really lacked two things. First of all, her reasoning lacked faith. She was no doubt weary from all that she experienced through this drought, trying to help her son. We get beaten down by life. And living in this world, our faith can take a beating. And I would suppose that this woman's faith took a beating. Life had been hard on her. She had nothing left. And here she was trying to trust in God, but it was just really hard to see through the fog of life. And she said, listen, I'm going to take what I have, and I'm just going to eat it, and we're going to die. And so she didn't have much faith, but she also didn't have much vision. She really couldn't see past that one meal. She couldn't see past tomorrow. And oftentimes we feel like that. Because let's be honest, though her reasoning was faulty, it's natural. It's natural for us when we go through these circumstances for our faith to fail and for us to not be positive or see past the trial that we're experiencing in our life. And that is why, let me say this, that is why trusting God is supernatural. That is why we must trust on Him and not lean on our own understanding. Because each of us will experience our own human nature pulling us away from trusting God. And if we were honest tonight, we would all agree with that it takes that push to look to God in dire circumstances and in tough circumstances. And yet I'm glad in this story that this woman was proposed a better way. And she didn't lean on her own understanding. She didn't beckon to her own reasoning, but she obeyed God. And she followed the prophet. And the Bible says in this passage of scripture that because she had trusted the Lord, we see thirdly in our notes tonight, the triumph of faith. Look what the Bible says, verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain unto the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, when we read this story, the very first thing I normally look to is the faith of the widow woman. And I mean, it took faith for her to believe God. But think about the faith of Elijah for just a moment. I mean, here he comes to a widow woman who has nothing left but one meal, and they're dying. Her and her son are starving to death. And here Elijah comes to this widow woman and her son, trusting God that God's going to meet the need, and said, listen, you said you were going to make this last meal and eat it. I don't want you to eat it. I want you to give it to me. That takes faith. I mean, you're trusting God to not only meet your need, but also you're going to meet the need of this widow and her son. And we see, first of all, letter A, the request from the prophet. Not only did Elijah request provision, but he also requested his provision first. And this, no doubt, was a test of faith for Elijah. But Elijah personally knew that God was going to come through, that God was going to meet the need. And so we find in this passage of Scripture that Elijah stepped out by faith and said to this woman, "Listen, you give me the meal, and God will meet your need." You know, a lot of Bible preachers will connect this with, you know, our tithing and our giving to the Lord. We give of the first fruit, and we trust the Lord with the rest. And this is what this widow woman did. She trusted God with the rest. But not only we notice the request, but notice the response of the widow in verse 15. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah." She trusted the Lord. And this act of great trust that goes against human logic, that would go against, put yourself in that situation, you're starving, your child's starving, it would go against everything within you. She trusted God. She simply obeyed. And God brought deliverance. Job said it this way in Job 36, verse 15, "He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ears in oppression." We notice in this passage of Scripture here that God comes through, and we see the request of the prophet, the response of the widow, but notice the resource supplied in verse 15, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." God delivered each of them as they trusted in his provision. For the length of that drought, the Bible says that Elijah, the widow, and her son never went without food. That's an incredible miracle of God. I mean, think about it. They were surrounded with a people who God was judging through this drought. And yet, because of their trust in God, they were safe from the agony of starvation. God provided for them, and God protected them through this terrible event. You know, God's resources are not dwindled today. We serve the same God, and we can call upon him, and we can trust in him, and God is still meeting needs, and God is still helping his children in the midst of an unbelieving, untrusting world. We can stand out and trust in God. The Bible says this way in Luke 6, verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, wrote, "But my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And so tonight, is your test being, is your faith being tested? I want to encourage you tonight that God's promises are true, and God himself is trustworthy. And though the example of a prophet in need and really an unlikely widow from an unlikely place, really we learn that God honors faith. And God wants us to trust in him and realize tonight that storms are going to come. You know, earthquakes, if I could say that, spiritual earthquakes or trials are going to come into your life. And they're going to shake your life. And they're going to be different for each of us. I don't know what may come in our life around the corner. But I know this, that when those trials come, they expose the foundation of our faith. And may we hold fast tonight on the promises of God and anchor our souls in his unchanging nature so that we can build trust below the baseline. And you've known Christians, I've known Christians, that have gone through some terrible events, and they're still standing. And you think, how in the world How in the world can they still smile? It's because they're trusting God. And they built that a long time ago, below the baseline, in the part of their life that no one else can see. God help us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray you would help us all.